We have reasons for singing the songs that we sing. If you noticed, as we were singing, "Come Thou Incarnate Word." Does anyone know who the incarnate word is? Anybody? The incarnate word is Jesus Christ. He is the Word come in the flesh. And then we went on to sing, "Gird on thy mighty sword." We're not just talking about, you know, nice things, but we're asking the Lord to put on his sword. Anybody know what his sword is? It's this. We're asking him in this glad hour, "Thou who art almighty art, come and rule and bless your word." And so we trust that the Spirit of God will come and take the sword of Jesus and use it in our hearts today. This is a very glad hour because we have a very glad text. The parable is a joyful parable that Jesus speaks next in Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And this is really amazing. I promise you, I never knew before. I've read this probably 100 times over the years, but I never really understood it. It's really quite amazing. The Lord Jesus put this in here, especially for our encouragement and for our joy. Let us notice God's word in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Very short parable, just a very few verses. "And he said," he continues on, he's been teaching them about the four kinds of ground. He's been teaching them about the lamp, you remember? And now he continues. "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. He cuts it and takes it to himself when the harvest time is, when the Lord is ready to take the fruit that he has grown." Well, we'll end our reading there at verse 29. Very short portion that Jesus is giving, but it is very important. So may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, take up his word today and bless it to our hearts. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved to use agriculture. He loved to use farming as teaching. And the Holy Spirit led Mark to record only four of Christ's earthly stories, these parables that are earthly stories with heavenly meanings, only four of these that he taught from the ship on that particular day. Now we know that the Lord spoke a lot of other parables, but the Spirit of God had Mark to record just four of them that he gave from that ship that day, on that particular day. Of these four parables, three of the four have to do with plants. Did you notice that? Three of the four have to do with sowing seed. There's one more after this about the mustard seed, but three of the four have to do with sowing seed. The other one's about the lamp we looked at last Lord's Day. Now, the parable that we're concentrating on this morning is only recorded by Mark. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Luke, and it's not in John. Isn't it amazing that God had Mark to put this one down? Now, don't think it's a shortened version of another parable, because it's not. If you look at verse 33 of chapter 4, look at verse 33. The scripture says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it." And notice verse 34. "But without a parable spake he not unto them." Now you imagine all the times that Jesus taught, he always spoke parables somewhere in with his teaching. You take the Sermon on the Mount, there's a multitude of parables in that. But isn't it something that God did not have them all recorded? So when the Holy Spirit had them to record any of these parables, they were done for a particular reason. They were done so that we could profit from them. Now, I say that this parable is not the same parable as the parable of the tares and the wheat. There's no mention at all of the tares in this. And this parable in Mark 4 is obviously given for a different reason than the Lord Jesus Christ gave the parable of the tares or the weeds. They're for different reasons. Now, the parable of the tares actually teaches that true and false people will gather together regularly for the worship of God. The parable of the tares says they're both growing together, but there's coming a time, ultimately, when they will be separated by God to their different eternal destinies. So the parable of the tares and the wheat, they have a specific thrust or purpose. But our parable here in Mark 4 teaches us about the growth of the kingdom of God, the growth of the kingdom of grace in your heart, in my heart, and even in the world. The growth of the kingdom of grace. And there are three things I want to point out. We got four verses, but we only got three things to point out. The mystery of the growth, the potency of the growth, and the certainty of the growth. These three things. The mystery of the growth. What does it say here at the end of verse 27? The farmer sows a seed, but how it grows, he knoweth not how. It's a mystery. But there is power in that seed that's sown, and it springs forth automatically. Our word automatic comes from this text. It's only used two times in the whole Bible. We'll see where it's used. But our English word automatic has its root right here in this little parable. You drive an automatic shift in your car, your gears change automatically. The term automatic came from right here. And then, so there's a potency in this seed to grow. And there's a certainty of a harvest, because it's going to go through these gradual stages, and there's coming for sure a harvest. So we'll look at these this morning. Now, let us enjoy this sweet and encouraging parable this morning. Think with me as we listen to our Almighty King teach us about the growth of His kingdom. So first of all, we look at the mystery of the growth. Let's turn back to verse 26. Verse 26, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God." Here is the mystery of the kingdom. You come on down. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. It's a normal thing for a farmer to throw out seed and then get his rest and rise night and day and look out to the field. Well, I still see brown plowed ground. I'll go back to bed tonight and look again in the morning. Next morning he gets up, he looks out on that field. I still see brown, plowed ground. And I'll go back to sleep tonight, get up again in the morning. I still see brown, plowed ground. But eventually, there will be that springing up. As it says in verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. That's the mystery. Okay. So I want us to notice, first of all, that even though this is a mysterious thing, the growth of the kingdom, it is real growth. What does he say at the very outset of the parable in verse 26? So is the kingdom of God. It's real. There's no doubt that the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. A man. Any man. But especially the ministers of Jesus Christ that cast seed regularly on or into the ground or into the hearts of the hearer. We hope that the seed that we sow gets into the hearts of the hearers. Here is what we can and what we must do. We must sow the seed again and again and again. We must keep sowing the seed and not stop sowing the seed of God's Word, the good news. Now I'm preaching now to myself. You understand? Old preacher, you keep preaching the gospel, because that's what the job the Lord has given us to do, is to sow the seed into the ground. Now, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. All right. Give out the gospel wherever you can, whenever you can. We won't see the kingdom of God growing. We won't see the kingdom of God extending, expanding, increasing, or advancing unless we are sowing. Now, I want to tell you, back on the table, there's a lot of beautiful little glossy colored little tracts. And I invite you to take these gospel tracts and give them out. Give them away every chance you get. And you don't have to take a lot of them. I was so happy the other night just to have the opportunity. I stuck some in my pocket and we went out to Cracker Barrel, and here was a family sitting in a rocking chair, mom and dad, and they had four beautiful little girls. And I would say the oldest one of those four little girls was no bigger than Ava. And then there was a little bitty one about the size of Ella. And here are these four cute little girls running around with their beautiful little dresses on. And I saw the parents sitting there. And wouldn't you know it, I had a tract in my pocket of a little girl who was saying, "Please get my mother in." And it was about a preacher that she went and got. And when the preacher came, he realized he didn't even know the Lord. And he needed to get in himself. And then mama got in before she died. But you know, I had the privilege of giving one of those tracts to that family. And they were like, wow. They were so glad to get it. And I was so thankful. But we got these things. Every chance you get, sow the word like that. Now, Captain Cook, you may have heard of the English explorer Captain James Cook. He traveled the world over on these voyages, and he would always carry with him little packets of seeds. It was so strange, because this renowned world explorer would carry in his pockets little packets of seeds from England. some of the English flower seeds, and some of the English herbs he would carry. And so whatever land he went to, if he was in Hawaii, if he was in Australia, if he was in New Zealand, he would go back alone into a quiet, secluded spot, and he would dig up a little place in the ground, and he would plant seeds, and then he would leave them. He was leaving some of the influence and some of the goodness of Great Britain from his native land in these various continents and islands across the earth. Now, that man only took seed from an earthly kingdom to spread its goodness and its influence across the world. But we are citizens of the greatest, the highest, the only infinite, eternal kingdom of the great triune God. And it is our God who is worthy of our sowing His word seed all over the earth. He is worthy of our doing that. He is the greatest king, greater king than the King of England. So, let us then sow His word everywhere. Although this seed and kingdom are real, there is yet a mystery about it. Notice verse 27 right at the end. The farmer throws out the seed and it springs up, it grows up. He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. No plant specialist, no botanist, no chemist really understands how a seed dies and no longer is a seed. Nobody really knows how, except the one who made the seeds in Genesis chapter 1. He knows how, and He tells us how. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, He just states it very plainly. Because we don't know how. A seed dies, and from that death, it's transformed into many cells, just making a plant and more seeds just like itself. But Jesus said here in John 12, 24, verily, verily, that is the eternal amen. Amen. You can write this one down because it's absolutely securely certain in eternity. Amen. Amen. He puts His own name on it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. We read the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 36 and 37. That which thou sowest is not quickened, it's not made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. The farmer doesn't know how that seed germinates. The farmer doesn't know how that seed grows. But it does so mysteriously. So I tell you, so is the seed of God's word. It will mysteriously produce spiritual life. And it will mysteriously produce spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. Praise God for the power of His word. It's a mystery, but it's also, we see the potency of the growth. Secondly, notice what the scripture says. That this seed, verse 27, should spring up and spring and grow up. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now I want you to notice here at the beginning of verse 28, they, in their translation, they turn some of the words around. The actual first words are for automatically. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. The of herself actually comes first. And it's the Greek word automate, where we get our word automatic. And I want to tell you, the seed springs up and it grows up automatically because God has power and life in that seed. The seed springs up, grows up automatically. The only other time that this word automatic is used in the Bible is in Acts chapter 12 and verse 10. You know, old Herod, he'd already killed James. He wanted to kill Peter, so he had Peter locked up. I mean, he had chains on him. He was chained to these guards. There were guards outside the door. There were guards all the way out. There was a big gate they'd have to go through to get out of there. But the angel came and caused those shackles to fall off of Peter, and he didn't wake the soldiers. And he went out of that dungeon door, no problem. Angel leading him down the hallway, passing these guards, no problem. The scripture tells how many soldiers are keeping him. And then finally they got out to the big iron gate that opened up into the street to go into the city. And what does the scripture say? That gate opened of its own accord, Acts 12:10. That is the same word here. Only two times are used in the Bible. That seed springs up of itself. Now it says that the earth brings it forth. Well, it's in the earth, but where's the power? The power of life is in that seed itself. The growth, the power of growth is in that seed itself. It's the Word of God. There's power in the Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That is, the Word is living and powerful. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. How are we born again? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It is the Word, the seed of the Word that God puts in us, in our heart, and causes us to be born again. 1 Peter 1:23. It is that power, that life, the quickening power in the Word of God. Here is the spiritual lesson. All spiritual life, all of this potency, all spiritual growth comes by means of the Word of God. Look back at verse 14. You'll see it. Excuse me. Verse 14 of Mark 4. The sower soweth what? Just seed? No. The sower soweth the Word. It is the Word of God that has that life-giving power and that growth-giving power. All right. Well, we see the mystery of growth. Secondly, we've seen the potency of growth. And so now, we think about this and come down to this matter of the power, that potency in that seed. It's so wonderful. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4, where the word of a king is, there is power. We have the word of King Jesus, who reigns on high. This is his kingdom. When he was here, if you remember when Jesus would teach the word, Luke chapter 4 verse 32, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. It is a life-giving word. The seed of the word is incorruptible. Growth comes from the seed as well as life comes from it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We have an illustration of this in our congregation. And we do welcome Haddon Cromwell Yarborough this morning. We're glad he can be here. And that little guy fulfills what we have here in 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. What does that word sincere mean? It means the genuine, the real milk. Not some kind of false doctrine, but I'm feeding on the true, genuine milk of the Word of God. So we are to grow by the Word, just like we had our life given to us spiritually by the Word. As newborn babes, we are to desire that sincere milk of the Word, what? That we may grow thereby. And how do we know that we're growing? Well, it's evident when a little baby starts putting on weight. But it's evident in our lives if we are not only hearing, we are reading the Word on our own, we are meditating on it, we are studying it, we are memorizing it, and we are obeying it in our lives. That's growth in the kingdom of God. What potency there is in the seed that God has put there. And I said that farmer can sleep. He can sleep through the night. He can get up the next day and look out and see that brown field that he plowed. But one morning, he'll get up and he'll look out there and he'll see a green field where those little blades are starting to come up. And he can see all over that field, there's green beginning to show itself. The amazing power that God has put into the seed is an illustration of the awesome, infinite power that resides in His eternally spoken and revealed Word. Hallelujah. So we've seen the mystery, the potency. We come last and very shortly to the certainty of the growth of God's kingdom. Notice verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Automatically, first the blade, then the ear. Excuse me, after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. It's time to cut that wheat and to bring it in, because it's ripe. So we have here the certainty of that growth of the kingdom. Now you may not be convinced of the success. You may not be convinced personally of the certainty of the growth of God's kingdom. But His kingdom is growing, whether you notice it or not. Jesus illustrates that for us in His dealing with the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees always wanted to see signs before they would believe. Show me something, preacher! Okay, the Pharisees always wanted to see signs before they would believe. They demanded of Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20 and 21. They demanded of Christ when the kingdom of God should come. Interesting. Since they always focused on outward signs and external things, Christ just turned the tables completely around on them. And Christ emphasize the internal, invisible nature of the kingdom. What did Jesus say? He said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You guys always looking up at the sky. You were looking for signs. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. There's a very secret internal reality that's taking place. The kingdom is a seed. It's germinating within. It's growing in the heart. First, there's a tiny green blade. And to most observers, that's nothing. Just a tiny green blade. It might just be a weed. No. That blade, that tiny little green blade, is evidence that there's going to be more. Gradually, the stem will appear. And then there will be an ear on that stem, and then the full corn in the ear. It is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The farmer can't help it. You know how children like to plant seeds? Why is seed not coming up? And they go out there and they dig it up. And they messed it up because it started to sprout. Now they've broken it. Well, the farmer can't help it. The farmer sows the seeds and it begins to spring and grow up. He knows not how. He might as well enjoy some sleep and rest and just wait, because it is as the apostle said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but only God can give the increase. It is our job to sow the seeds of God's word, His precious good news. We are actually to be content with the sowing of God's word. We are to be content when God takes His word and convinces sinners of their sin. When God begins to enlighten by His grace, and when God begins to deliver people from trusting in themselves anymore. It's like that blade showing. When people are no longer trusting in their goodness or their own works, but they begin to see, I need something more than myself. I need this great salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray that the lost will be led by these sure steps to faith in Christ. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. Behold, the husbandman, that is the farmer. Nice long English word for farmer. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. He's waiting for something. Not being in a big hurry, just being patient and waiting for God to send the early and the latter rain. And here's the thrust of it. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. We realize that the growth of the kingdom of God is certain, but it's also gradual. And we can't get it all at once. That's one of the reasons Mr. Finney invented the mourner's bench, where we get some, let's see it now, man. I don't want to wait. I want to see it now. But let us remember that the seed often lies under the clods for a long time before it begins to germinate and grow. Yet God's word is true. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. There will be a harvest. Verse 29. The sickle's going to be put in. The harvest is going to be reaped. God's kingdom will come. He will have His will done on this earth as it is in heaven. The knowledge and the glory of the Lord shall cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. The cause of God and truth was never in jeopardy. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The sovereign king has it perfectly in his hand right now. So those who sow the seed of the word can do it joyfully. We can do it with great encouragement, and we can sleep at night like that farmer, and we can get some rest while we joyfully expect and we confidently await the Lord to fulfill His promises. That's what this little short parable is about. It's for our encouragement that God will do His will. He will fulfill His word. Let us be faithful in the sowing of the seed. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee in Jesus' name for this wonderful little parable that I confess has been hidden from my eyes for so many years. What an encouragement it is to meditate upon this truth, that Thou wilt carry forward the work of Thy kingdom. And Lord, we trust that Thou wilt bless Thy word and continue to bless it even after we're gone from this scene of time into eternity, that thou wilt keep on blessing thy eternal word and cause it to bring forth more and more fruit for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.